Welcome to Weekend Forum, a production of KIOS News. The series explores the significant topics and issues of our region with leaders, thinkers, and influencers from around Omaha and throughout Nebraska. This week, we present the Omaha Press Club's Noon Education Forum with Christina Engdahl, Director of Communications for Omaha's Metropolitan Entertainment and Convention Authority. The event was recorded live at the Omaha Press Club on Thursday, March 17, 2022, and has been edited for time. And now, on to the presentation.
Good afternoon. Thank you for coming. I am Angela Arendt, a member of the Omaha Press Club Education Committee. And once a month, we hold noon forums that we think will be of interest to both our members and the general public at large. And you do not have to be a Press Club member to attend, but we invite you to consider a membership if you are not a member. Our guest today is Christina Engdahl, Director of Communications for the Metropolitan Entertainment and Convention Authority, also known as MECA. She will speak for about a half hour, and then we will have questions from our audience. You'll notice that there are paper and pencils at your table. Please write down your questions, and they'll be brought to me to ask from the podium. MECA is a nonprofit organization that builds and maintains public event venues in Omaha. As the Director of Communications for MECA, Christina serves as a spokesperson for the CHI Health Center, TDMA Trade Park Omaha, and the Riverfront Project. Christina helps oversee the local announcement of high-profile concerts and sporting events and acts as a liaison for journalists and media. She also worked to organize the public groundbreaking event at Jean Leahy Mall, making the official start of the Riverfront redevelopment construction process. Christina joined MECA in 2017 after just under 6 years as a television news reporter at KETV NewsWatch 7. During her time in journalism, Christina had the privilege of telling important local stories and lifting the voices of local change makers. Before that, she was a news anchor and reporter at KNOP-TV in North Platte from 2019 until 2012. After her departure from the newsroom, Christina transitioned into the world of public relations, where she still enjoys the opportunity to highlight all the exciting things happening in our community. Since moving to MECA, Christina, who is a Nebraska native, has continued her advocacy for Omaha and enthusiasm for city progress and development. She graduated from the University of Nebraska at Omaha with a Bachelor of Arts degree in journalism. Please join me in welcoming Christina Engdahl.
As Angela said, I am the Director of Communications for MECA, and if you have any hard questions, I'll be referring them to my boss, who's also in the room. This is what we call our key motivations, which are to help with the creation of memories for families and friends in Omaha, to strengthen the bond of our community, and to cultivate growth not only in physical development, but in personal development as well. Also, something else that's good to keep in mind as we run through the presentation, and this is kind of a cliff notes of the three entities that are involved in the Riverfront Project. Certainly that may be familiar to some of you who live, work, and commute in downtown Omaha, but there's still some people who just aren't sure what exactly are the components of the Riverfront Project. So they are three already remaining parks in downtown Omaha, the first, of course, being Jean Leahy Mall, which is some place that we've seen significant strides over the past couple of years. And Jean Leahy Mall is the most urban of those three parks. There's already development on either side of them, on either side of the park. And also there is historical buildings already within this area that provided extra levels of consideration as we were going through the redevelopment process. So Jean Leahy Mall is the first of three, which connects to Heartland of America Park, which is just to the east of Jean Leahy Mall at 8th Street. And also Heartland of America Park is another place that we think has been kind of underappreciated over the past couple of decades. It was sloping in design, which prevented some use, but it's also a park that has sizable real estate along the Missouri River. So we knew for the overall goal of the project to be able to reconnect to the Missouri River, that this was going to be a significant piece of the overall project. And then just to the north of that is Lewis and Clark Landing. You may be familiar that Lewis and Clark Landing historically has been kind of a concrete, barren area with not a whole lot of opportunity for activation, and certainly this redevelopment project is going to change that. So along with its real estate along the Missouri River, this is just behind the CHI Health Center, and it has a great connecting point to the Bob Carey Pedestrian pedestrian bridge. So between these three parks, the goal is to not only unify parts of downtown Omaha, but to bring crowds into the heart of the city and then lure them back down to the Missouri River. Next slide. So here's a look at the project timeline, kind of a high-level look. And just as the parks closed in phases, that's how they're going to reopen. So Jean Leahy Mall, that closed in 2019 for construction. And that followed Heartland of America Park, which also closed in 2019. And then Lewis and Clark Landing closed in 2020. You probably have heard the great news that Jean Leahy Mall is just weeks now away from reopening. That'll be July 1st of this year that we'll be able to welcome people back into that park. Followed by Lewis and Clark Landing, which is the second park to reopen in 2023, and then Heartland America Park opens later in 2023. So there's still a lot of progress to go and still some exciting things to come. Next slide. So before I get started on some of the permanent amenities that you're going to see in all three parks, just a reminder that all of these renders do exist on our website, riverfrontrevitalization.com. So I'm going to really kind of scream through these, but you should always feel welcome to check out our website, see all the renders that we have to offer, and take a look at the permanent amenities that you can expect to see in the riverfront. So first, I like to go numerical order. It just seems easiest. But starting there with number one, that's the Sculpture Garden. And that'll be a great area for, you know, lounging, friends gathering. We also have five pieces picked out for this park. Things that will come from various artists from around the country that have been curated with our partners at Kaneko. So those will, we had the first announcement for the first piece not long ago, but those will exist kind of on a rotating basis. And by that I mean every few years. So that way people have a chance to come and see them, plenty of time to take in what's to offer, but also with the understanding that there'll be something new to come in the years ahead. Number two, that's the Art Plaza. That's going to feature another signature art piece and also be kind of a welcoming point at Jean Leahy Mall. Three is the Social Court. That's a great place to hang out with friends or work on your laptop. Number four, this is a really exciting piece of Jean Leahy Mall because it helped to figure a significant part of the transformation, which was bringing the lagoon up to street level, which some feedback we got in the redesign process was that the sloping dark kind of corners of Jean Leahy Mall were preventative to park use. So by bringing the park up to street level, we'll be able to have a great event lawn and have events there with that great lawn, or event lawn rather, backing up to number six, which is the Performance Pavilion. Something where we picture a lot of potential symphony performances or live art on display, where you can go and see a show in Jean Leahy Mall with the city skyscrapers just over your shoulder there. Number seven, while this project does aim to reconnect the city with the Missouri River, the 11th Street Promenade at number seven is going to help connect the Old Market to the Capital District. So this is going to be a walkway that I'll have a render to show you as well that takes you from one side of downtown Omaha to the other with a really kind of easy, comprehensive way to traverse between the two with some great elements within there as well. Number eight, that's the historic Jean Leahy Mall slides. We got a lot of feedback, a lot of concern from people who were worried that the Jean Leahy Mall slides were gonna go away. That's not the case. They will stay, and in fact, they'll be preserved and have some additional elements on either side installed as well. Number nine is the Cascades. That's an interactive water feature that will feature kind of craggy looking rocks that'll bubble and pool for people to play in the water during the hot summer days. 10 and 11 is the Pond and Cove that keeps a water feature in Jean Leahy Mall. And as well within the cove features things like toy boats. It'll be a nice shallow area that kiddos can gather and have something interactive to do there as well. 12 and 14, that's the Terrace and the Overlook Gardens, another quiet place for you to enjoy in the heart of the city. Number 13 is the Dog Park. Get a lot of interest in this one too. It'll feature large and small dog sides, have artificial turf throughout, and have a lot of great installations within there, like seesaws and tunnels and all sorts of stuff that keep your dogs entertained when you bring them down to the riverfront. And then number 17, this is just a demonstration of like the rentable spaces that we're gonna have within Jean Leahy Mall. We call this the East Lawn, just a place where perhaps you could rent out for a family reunion or a small gathering, something like that, which is an overall mission too of the riverfront, is to be able to have space that people can take out and enjoy for their events. Next slide. So as we have progressed in refined design, we've also been able to develop renderings of what the park's gonna look like upon completion, and certainly these renderings of Jean Leahy Mall are getting closer to reality every day. These renderings here depict the Performance Pavilion and the downtown green that's on the lower right-hand side, the historic slides with added smaller slides and caregiver areas on the top right, The 11th Street Promenade that I mentioned there is on the lower left, featuring things like, we call them front porch swings, and some great overhead lighting to ensure safety throughout the night. And then the pond with aquatic plantings and the preservation of the historic orange lights are also featured in these renderings. Those are original to Jean Leahy Mall. So as you can see, something we thought about a lot is not only bringing this park into the future, but finding ways to hearken to and celebrate the past, whether that's with the orange lights, calling for reminiscing of those orange lights here within the overhead lighting of the 11th Street Promenade, things that really kind of express signature Omaha, but still have amenities that, you know, modern families are going to want to come down and use. Next slide. Thank you. So we've seen significant amounts of progress within the last 2 years in Jean Leahy Mall with bringing a large part of the park up to street level. We've had a significant amount of infrastructure installed in Jean Leahy Mall as well, and you can see a lot of those permanent amenities are already starting to take place. We talk about that performance pavilion that's currently tented, so they can continue to paint that as the weather gets a little bit colder but doesn't slow down our progress at all. You can also see we put a lot of trees in the area with even more to come. Some native landscaping will start to come into the area as well. And the Arches Playground is something too that if you drive by Jean Leahy Mall, you can't miss it. It's these giant orange arches that are shooting out of the playground there. And when we talk about these play structures, these are not things that we can go and buy at Menards, right? These are custom, huge pieces, things like you've never seen before that are gonna be really exciting, we think, for kids to come down and to be able to enjoy. Next slide. Moving on to permanent amenities and Heartland of America Park. And like I said, I'm talking fast, so please, if you have questions about these amenities or if you'd like to see them in some more detail, always encourage you to visit the website, which I'll pop up at the end of the presentation. But again, in numerical order, that's the 8th Street Plaza, which will provide a gathering space. We also picture something there like a holiday tree during like a holiday market or something like that, that will be a great welcoming feature into that park. Number two, that's a building with public restrooms. And I should have mentioned also a goal of this project is to bring public restroom facilities into each of the three parks, which you'll see here in the permanent amenities is another important piece of feedback that we got that that was a previous barrier to park use. But that also, that building number two serves skate rentals for number three, which is the skate ribbon. That's gonna be an ice skating ribbon in the winter months and rollerblading slash skating in the summer. And here you can see by the design of that, it features an exterior racing track that helps you go around and around. It's about the size of a football field, which is pretty cool, along with rinks inside that allow for more traditional ice skating. But this was an idea that we kind of lifted directly from Maggie Daly Park in Chicago. It's something that a lot of their locals like to use. And what's wonderful about the installation of this piece is the technology that's within it. So not only can it be concrete, as I mentioned, in the summer and spring, but we'll have the ability to flip a switch with some glycol lines and turn it into ice skating, and not only when it's freezing out. Because we'll have kind of this technology within, you'll be able to use the skate ribbon, you know, even when it's a little bit warmer out without the ice turning to slush underneath your feet. So we think a lot of people are gonna take advantage of this one. So number three, the skate ribbon is a really exciting amenity for Heartland of America Park. Four, going back to the connectivity issue, the Farnham Promenade shown here brings visitors to the Farnham Pier at number five, which overlooks the Missouri River. And that Farnham Pier is going to be iconic in structure with architectural significance, seating elements. It's also going to have color changing lights, kind of reminiscent of the Bob Carey pedestrian bridge. But also that big long Farnham Promenade is something that we think will be great for activation as well. You can put tents up there for vendors or merchants to be able to set up down and lead you down to the Missouri River and maybe do a little shopping during an event. So we're working on a lot of program partners to help make that stuff happen. Number six in the Heartland of America Park is an event lawn that's similar to Jean Leahy Mall, but it's gonna be a little bit bigger. We think that we'll have the capability and the infrastructure to be able to accommodate things like music festivals, larger events down with the Missouri River as a backdrop there, which will be really cool to see. And then in number seven, bringing play into Heartland of America Park for children and adults alike, we have bocce courts, which is something that was, I think, an addition down the line, but as we understood the popularity of it, it seemed like a good add to Heartland of America Park, along with we'll have some slides and swings that'll be located at number 14. Number eight, that's the lounge garden area, provides a quiet, tranquil space to gather with friends and family. Number nine, visitors also have the opportunity to sit along the bluff, which is going to be a little bit of a scenic overlook. Shifting to number 12 on the south side of the park, we have an amphitheater there that's going to be a great space to enjoy the Conagra Lake and fountain. Also, there was previously an amphitheater there, but we're going to add some additional seating and make sure there's plenty of shade for you to enjoy acoustic performances right along the water's edge. Number 13, you may remember the gondola rides that have been offered historically at Conagra Lake. We're going to continue that and looking for program partners to help make that happen as well. And as you can see through the overall design, connectivity continues to be a significant piece of the overall project, because not only do we have all these amenities, but also we're working to improve the walkways or the bridges that get you from one park to the other. So certainly that's demonstrated up at number 10, which is a boardwalk that takes you up to Lewis and Clark Landing. Next slide. Great, and taking a look at some of the renders for Heartland of America Park. Similar to Jean Leahy Mall with the finalization of design, we've been able to develop renderings that are gonna show what the park will look like upon completion. Here we have the skate ribbon that's in the top left corner with some really great overhead lighting and hand railings to accommodate people who maybe are beginning skaters, or you know, we can also accommodate those who are advanced. But the every kind of thought and detail is displaying these renders to understand that not only will we put these amenities in, but we're going to make sure that they're sustainable and that they certainly look in line with what the vision is for the overall project. Also, you can see here the Farm and Promenade that runs along the skate ribbon, and that's in the lower left-hand corner. And the amphitheater is along Conagra Lake in the top right corner, along with those permanent bocce courts that are going to be there as well. So lots of great features still to come to Heartland of America Park, but that one is, like I said, the last to reopen in 2023. And here, taking a look at the progress that we've made too, and to give you a little perspective, the initial image here in September 2020 is a little more zoomed in than the one of 2022. Here towards the bottom edge of this image, you can see actually the eastern part of Jean Leahy Mall. So right there in that kind of, I don't know, trapezoidal looking area, that's the dog park. And then at 8th Street there is where Heartland of America Park begins. But still, you can see we made a lot of progress on the skate ribbon there, along with important infrastructure that has gone into place to be able to host large scale events and also to host a lot of people too. So next slide. Great. And last but certainly not least, a look at the permanent amenities coming into Lewis and Clark Landing. We're gonna bring destinations into this park like never before. But looking now at the permanent amenities coming into Lewis and Clark Landing, there's a lot of great stuff to talk about. The boardwalk, number one, borders an even larger, more iconic playground at number one there. And when I talk about the custom pieces of the playground, this will be very much demonstrated in Lewis and Clark Landing. Things like zip lines and slides and climbing structures that I'll have renders to show you, but it's also very customized, not only for kids to run and expel some energy, but also we figured in some quieter spaces for maybe kiddos or adults even who are prone to things like overstimulus. So we worked with a really great playground and play consultant to make sure that we can accommodate needs and abilities of kiddos from, you know, all walks of life. Number two, similar to Jean Leahy Mall and Heartland of America Park, we're bringing public restrooms into the area. Number three, much of the previous parking spaces will be maintained or replaced because it's the Midwest and we know parking is important. So we'll make sure to have plenty of parking down there. Number four, that's the urban beach. We're bringing sand towards the waterfront, not necessarily water access here, but still all your sandcastle making needs, as well as some fire pits to sit around and enjoy in the evening. Number five, that's the arrival plaza between the playground, the urban beach, and the Kiewit Luminarium, which is a separate project, but one that we're still very excited to have them as a partner going into the riverfront. Number six, traditionally, there has been a wide variety of events in Lewis and Clark Landing, ranging from Santa Lucia Festival to Taste of Omaha. And so when we talk about the concrete in this area, it was determined that it would be best still to leave just a little bit for things like carnival rides, because it wasn't exactly logical to go through the trouble of putting in a lawn and having all this big infrastructure come in and tear it up every single time. So with that in mind, we decided to leave some concrete there right along the river, which of course will make a really cool snapshot for when those festivals decide, hopefully, to return. Number seven, balancing between keeping space for festival type events and bringing in green space into the park. We have a small event lawn there that's gonna border some sand volleyball courts at number eight. Number nine is the pedestrian bridge that lands you at the boardwalk. And number 10 is the existing marina. It's gonna be cleaned up and maintained, providing access to park for those who like to access it via boat from the Missouri River. 12, that is the Prairie Gardens, bringing native prairie grasses to the western edge of the park. And again, really a theme that continues throughout Jean Lake Mall, Heartland of America Park, and Lewis and Clark Landing. And number 13, starting at the south, it shows the connection via pedestrian bridge from Heartland of America Park into Lewis and Clark Landing. So when we talk about connectivity, we're going to make sure there's really comprehensive ways to get from one space to the other. And number 14, finally, sticking with our theme of connectivity again, the MLK Bridge that's being maintained. And that's an important connection point piece that goes from the CHI Health Center Event Plaza down to Lewis and Clark Landing. So we've really kind of created a circle of connectivity down there. Next slide. And here are some of the really great things that are going to come to Lewis and Clark Landing. Here you can see the of these three slides, they are mostly of the destination playground. Things, again, like I said, climbing structures that are being custom built in conjunction with a really talented play consultant, zip lines, tunnels for hiding, walls for climbing, all sorts of wonderful things that kiddos are going to enjoy. And then the bottom left there is the arrival plaza that shows kind of how we're picturing trees live within this space, but also helps you navigate into the, you know, innermost piece of Lewis and Clark Landing. Next slide. And speaking of progress in Lewis and Clark Landing too, demolition has been the name of the game down there. So we've had a lot to remove in the way of concrete or previous boardwalk, things that have been salvaged if we have the ability to. And then making important foundational strides for things like, yeah, you got your sewer and your telecommunications infrastructure, but also ensuring that we can accommodate Wi-Fi throughout all three parks has been a really primary focus for us too. So demolition continues down in that area, and we're making great progress in Lewis and Clark Landing. Next slide. So here's what you can expect to see coming up in all three parks, especially if you drive by it every day, it's kind of nice to know what you're looking for, right? So in Jean Lake Mall, we're going to continue with landscape installation. Like I said, we put a lot of trees in there, hundreds so far, but we're going to put in even more, along with some of that great native landscaping that I spoke about. We're going to continue pouring sidewalks, which will create a really kind of cognitive way to get between the parks. And we're also going to finalize electrical and telecommunications installation and get the playgrounds finalized and installed too. In Heartland of America Park, we continue foundation work on the skate ribbon, which of course will be a huge amenity within that area. We're working on the placement of electrical, telecommunications, and sewer infrastructure, as well as grading work. And then here in the spring and summer months, you're going to start to see more sidewalks and then some trees finally go into Heartland of America Park as well. And same in Lewis and Clark Landing. We're working on demolition, constructing foundations that will serve as important foundations for amenities such as the playground and the restrooms. And then we have to work on that still some more infrastructure for telecommunications that will go in there as well. So now we transition from, after we talked about what the park is in its current state, what it's going to be, which is a highly activated space for, you know, people to be able to come down and enjoy and also be motivated to come down and take advantage of the programming that we're going to be working on. The riverfront's going to have a variety of programs, events, and activations on a daily, weekly, and monthly basis. We know active parks are important for a lot of reasons, but here's some of them that we narrowed down for you to keep in mind too. So we know that when there are programs for people to come down and use, that helps to increase attendance. And the increase of attendance creates safer spaces because you have more eyes in one place to make sure that everybody's being good actors. And it also encourages new development, which we're also already seeing down, especially around Jean Lake Mall with the Heinz development and of course the Farnham Hotel also popping up on the side there. So along with those, we want to create iconic destinations. We also want to diversify user groups, make sure there's something for everyone to do down at the riverfront with our programming. And we want to generate revenue so the park can also be self-sustaining. And I think the overall goal of making sure that we have not only great amenities but programming available for use is to establish an identity for the riverfront and kind of build a community down there, whether it's families gathering with their kiddos, whether it's young professionals who get together for a wine night. We want there to be a kind of a cherished place for every demographic to come down to the riverfront for it to use. And so when we talk about programming, this is the activation matrix that we're going to be, that we have in place that helps us kind of guide how it is that we land on the types of programming that we'll provide down there. So at the base of the pyramid, you can see that there are, these are the kind of everyday routine things that you can expect to see down at the riverfront. First, you have your daily programming, things like game carts, food trucks that we expect will be down there every day. But then also weekly programming, which will consist of things like yoga, fitness classes, things that will be a regular offer but may not happen every single day of the week. And then finally, we have things like monthly programming, which will consist of book clubs. Is it dance lessons? Is it creative writing workshops? We're looking for a number of program partners to help determine what kind of daily, weekly, and monthly programming could be a good offer down at the riverfront. From there, we're looking at things like seasonal events too, whether that's a summer camp or a pumpkin patch, things that very much coincide with whatever holiday we happen to be in. St. Patrick's Day would be a great example. We're also going to have availability for third-party rentals. This will be a great place. We've already had some questions about renting out space for weddings, family reunions, employee get-togethers, through a variety of not only those large spaces that I pointed out, but that's also why we have those kind of tucked away smaller lawn areas to accommodate groups of all sizes. And then lastly, we're looking at things like specialty programs, movies in the parks, concert series, festivals, and markets. And then lastly, we're going to have several signature events as well. Those will be your bigger kind of marquee events, such as fireworks during the 4th of July, maybe a winter holiday market, or an Easter egg hunt during the spring. Yes. And I'll just briefly touch on this. Sometimes we get some questions about the riverfront branding, because as you saw, it has the riverfront with the three ripples. Well, the ripples are by design. It actually reflects the shape of the Missouri River as it lives in conjunction with the city of Omaha. And then the three ripples with the three different colors represent the three parks that are involved. So the ripple doesn't, we didn't pull directly out of the sky. It has a little thought behind it, which is a cool process to come up with. But it does give you, I think, a new appreciation for what the riverfront stands for, which really is to marry the city of Omaha with the Missouri River. Next. And so we've been in this project now for a couple years, I added this slide specifically for this group because I thought you'd appreciate the public feedback that we've been getting has been really positive. We've been working with local media outlets to provide routine updates, whether that's construction progress or if we have something exciting to announce, if it's a sculpture that we're adding, if it's programming that we're ready to announce. We're trying to be very transparent with the progression of the project to also try to keep people, one, engaged. It's going to be their park to come down and use, but also to keep them excited because there's a lot to be excited for. And we think just by educating the public on what we have going on, that's a really great way to achieve that. So we've had some editorials in the World Herald. We've also get a lot of great feedback on social media where we post things like progress pictures of construction and et cetera. So it's been really heartening, I think, to see not only the excitement generated around it, but the understanding that this park is for the public and the appreciation for what's to come. So there's a number of ways also to stay up to date on the riverfront. We have a monthly newsletter that we send out at the end of every month. Another place, if you go to riverfrontrevitalization.com, you can get signed up for. We work really hard on that. We have a growing social media following, and I think that's because we try to get inside the job site and post updates as frequently as we can and make sure if there's something to see that we're showing you. We also are in touch with, our partners at the local media affiliates to talk about what it is that we have going on and to invite them in to see progress when we're able to. And then lastly, we're trying to get in front of people like you to talk about the project itself and also hopefully, create ambassadors through education. So we are really trying to get in front of folks and talk about the riverfront as much as we can. And that concludes my presentation. And I know it was a lot. Thank you very much. I know it was a lot, and I hope you have questions. I'd love to answer them. And like I said, this website right here, I keep leaving my mic, this website right here shows you all the renders that I mentioned here today, along with some extras. Also gives you the chance to get signed up for the newsletter, and it gives you guidance to access our social media, too. So thanks so much. I'll stay here. How surprising, Tom Becca has a question.
What are the odds?
Would you like to read and I'll get out of your way?
Sure.
Cool.
Okay. Sorry, I have to go back to the short person. Are there any plans for more public transportation options into out of downtown?
So Mecca does a lot. Public transportation is not a part of our game plan. I can tell you, though, that we added, along with the orbit station that exists at 10th and Dodge, Douglas, Carrie, Yes, Douglas, thank you. Along with the orbit station that exists at 10th and Douglas, we did a second orbit station at 8th and the Farnham area. So that'll be smack in between Jane Lee Hemel and Heartland of America Park. But our focus is transportation, ensuring good access to the, our focus is ensuring good access to the park, not necessarily transportation in our wheelhouse, but thank you.
Maybe I should stand over here so you're.
Oh yeah, that might.
Will the Summer Arts Festival be held in the mall this year?
I would say I don't think that there are plans for that at this time, but I know we're working on another of a number of other exciting markets and festivals that we think will be also of interest to the public.
Is there any room for restaurants or other eating establishments?
You know, we do get that question from time to time, and I think there was discussion initially about the addition of things like retail, restaurants, more businesses than public space, but what we landed on was in their lifetimes, these three parks have been a lot of things, but most importantly, they've been public spaces. So rather than adding an additional retail, which certainly will be accommodated both at in the old market, north downtown, and with the addition of the ConAgra redevelopment through Hines, we didn't see that there was a whole lot of need to add even more, you know, bars, restaurants, or retail within that space, and instead made them really great, accessible parks that you know, people can enjoy cost-free.
What kind of acts will be playing at the pavilion? Are they free shows, and how will it be different from Midtown Crossing?
Yeah. Well, I think the hope is to be able to complement things like Midtown Crossing, who's also providing really great access to public art, public performances, cost-free. So it will be similar in that way, but also I think we hope to be more activated than Midtown Crossing is. Certainly they exist in a smaller space and have different needs and accommodations, especially being surrounded by retail. Whether that's larger performances, say, like, you know, we're working with the Omaha Symphony to be able to have them perform at our performance pavilion from time to time. And then not only will you have things like that, but also you can have in those smaller spaces things like, we said, dance lessons, book readings. There will be larger events that bring in thousands of people, but also plenty of opportunity for, you know, dozens of people to come down and enjoy something too, like a workout class or et cetera.
And it is a public-private partnership. Can you provide any information on total cost?
Yeah. What was the last updated number? So when we launched the project, it was $50 million in contribution from the city and $250 in private contributions, making it about a $300 million project. That number, I think we've gone up to $325. That's a good thing my boss is here. $325, and that's just through necessary materials and stuff like that going up. And also, that does not figure the Kiewit Luminarium price in there as well.
And then, were there any accommodations that needed to be made for train tracks?
You know, I knew that we've been in communication with Union Pacific, and I don't know if I would call them accommodations. I know that we've had to meet with them about overall design, but that's definitely a partnership that we've had to broach and keep in touch with them about what we had going on within their proximity.
And then what do you think this might mean for economic activity downtown?
Yeah, that's a good question, because it's also one of the top priorities for the riverfront, which is by having programming, by having free amenities and lots of activations that people can take advantage of, we hope to bring more people down there as well. So not only can they maybe learn about our program partners and take advantage of whatever it is that they're offering, but we think by bringing more people into the area, certainly they're gonna go over and patronize the old market, they're gonna wander over to North Downtown Omaha. And so while it's a benefit for us to have people down there for programming, we think overall all the downtown communities are going to see a benefit.
So somebody would like to know more about the dog park. They understand that there is a drainage system.
A drainage system.
I don't know if that means for.
Well, there is a. Right. You got to be able to accommodate. Yeah, I know the dogs produce a lot of liquid, don't they? Well, we do know that there is going to be artificial turf in that area, like I said. But it's also. don't know about a drainage system. I'd have to get back to you on that. I do know that there's going to be lots of amenities, though. So, you know, things like tunnels, if your dog's feeling adventurous, seesaws, trees within that area, too. But I'm not familiar with the drainage system. That's not to say it's not there, because they've come up with all sorts of great stuff in that area. But I know the artificial turf is something that we get a lot of positive feedback about, because you don't have muddy paws that way, your grass isn't getting torn up, so that was certainly an important addition to that design.
Probably similar to Dewey.
Yes. Yep, that's exactly.
And then how is the new fountain interactive? Is it going to be lighted at night?
Oh, so the Cascades water feature, I think is what you mean. Or do you mean the Conagra Lake fountain?
How about both?
Both. Okay, great. Let's talk about both. So the Cascades, that is an interactive water feature, meaning that you can, actually get in the water, not submerge yourself. It won't be necessarily that deep. But there will be puddling and pooling that you can splash around in and certainly, beat the heat there. But also when the when it's not running, the design itself still looks interesting and it's still a great, I think, play space for kiddos. So that will be also, of course, lit in consideration of security needs, especially as it goes into the, late dusk summer hours. But there will be park hours, of course, to consider. The Conagra Lake fountain also remains. It won't be quite as high as it used to, just because now the lake size has changed. The lake went from, I want to say we cut in to create the event lawn to be able to accommodate crowds there. But it still remains lit, it still remains bubbling and functional. It just doesn't quite have the height that it used to.
And then speaking of security, somebody would like to know if there will be security at the restrooms.
Yes, yeah. So another really good question. So along with maintaining everyday park operations, and making sure that everything within the area remains maintained, MECCA is also going to have 24/7 security as well. So we will be in charge of making sure that everything stays safe and kept in the park. We'll also have direct contact information available and use contractors as necessary to help ensure that there's always a visual presence of security down there. But along with that, and MECCA's management in that piece, lighting was a big piece of the security conversation too, making sure that there weren't those dark corners that previously existed, and also that there aren't there's not glares that create blind spots or anything like that. So certainly there was a lighting consultant that helped figure all that to ensure that, you feel safe when you're moving through the park, even throughout the dusk hours.
And this relates to parking. It says the only place parking was shown was at Lewis and Clark. What is MECCA's projection for traffic with all the activities, and what are the plans to handle those needs?
Yeah. So there is additional parking at Lewis and Clark Landing, and then the usual city parking that's already down there stays too. So things that run along this street there. As far as putting additional parking in Jean Leahy Mall and Heartland of America Park, that's not within the plan. But there is on-street parking there, and of course, it's a short walk from Dual Market, and plenty of Park Omaha garages that are also very underutilized. So we think those will be helpful in accommodating events down there.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Christina, for participating in our noon forum. And our thanks also to members of our audience for attending here at the Press Club, and also to Josh and KIOS Public Radio for recording our forum and airing it. Our next noon forum is Tuesday, April 19th, when the Press Club will host a second Congressional District Democratic debate. And we thank you for joining us today.
You've been listening to Weekend Forum, a production of KIOS News. Today's program with Christina Engdahl, Director of Communications for Omaha's Metropolitan Entertainment and Convention Authority, was presented by the Omaha Press Club on Thursday, March 17th. This episode was produced by Joshua LeBure with assistance from Todd Hatton. You can hear this episode again at our website, kios.org, and you can find more information about the Omaha Press Club's noon education forums at omahapressclub.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for the next Weekend Forum.